It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So yesterday, we're all sitting there. We're like, all right, let's watch some Sunday Night Baseball. The New York Yankees have a chance to win a series against a very mediocre Detroit Tigers team. They're doing it in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Very, very cool. You know, the kids that are there, what an experience. Jazz Chisholm is sitting in the stands. Like, that looks awesome if you're a kid who's playing Little League Baseball who's out there. Completely awesome experience. Good for them. Is it great for the viewers? I don't know. I guess it's up to the viewer. I'm sure a lot of viewers don't give a rat's ass. A lot of viewers are just, they're angry at the world. So they're like, if this doesn't benefit me, this sucks. So I'm sure a lot of people watching said, who cares that 12-year-olds are having a good time? Doesn't mean anything to them. Now, I'm not one of those guys. I'm like, wow, that's great. That's pretty cool. Tiki, though, on the other hand, I could see him saying, oh, what the hell's the point of this crap?
This is such a waste of time. Why you make them travel all the way out the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
Three trees in the center field.
And you see the houses in the background. So we're all sitting back. We're watching Yankees Tigers. We get what I love, which is a great pitching matchup. Marcus Stroman puts together another
finally
really good performance. Yeah. His best one he's had in a while. Tarik Skubal reminds you why he's the odds-on favorite to win the American League Cy Young. And while the Yankees can't hit lefties, which is a continuing trend throughout this season. And we get to the ninth inning, and we get to Clay Holmes. And here's the reality about Clay Holmes. I got to give you some good and some bad. Can I give you some good? Is that allowed?
Yeah, please. Throw some sugar before you throw the salt.
I'm going to throw some sugar at you. While 10 blown saves is this ridiculous number, if we're being fair, if we're going to attempt to be fair, I would tell you that some of those blown saves are very unlucky. Okay?
Yeah.
Some of them.
Because of how he pitches. I know what you're
saying.
That's
not what I meant. That is sort of what I meant, but not fully. I want to give you an example.
Go ahead.
There's a blown save earlier this season in which he came in with guys on base and got a ground ball to shortstop, and Anthony Volpe made an error, and that was a blown save.
Yeah.
So there are some situations in which he was brought in with guys on base, and it was sort of a cheapy blown save. And then, yeah, the way he pitches is sometimes there's soft contact, and sometimes he gets bad breaks. I'm not saying he's amazing. He's certainly not Mariano Rivera. But in fairness, let's put the 10 blown saves in context. Some of them feature a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But bad luck doesn't matter when you need... This is why you prefer your closers. Not necessary, obviously, because we've seen teams win World Series without having this. But this is why you prefer your closer to have elite blow-you-away stuff.
I mean, he did strike out three guys in the ninth inning. He just mixed in a couple of base hits.
Yes, but those little base hits. But that's what I mean. Dominant, I got three guys coming up, and they're going down. That's it. I'm not even thinking about it. Because, trust me, all Yankee fans probably felt exactly like I did once you get to the ninth inning and Clay Holmes is in there. You're not like, it's over. One run, you're not saying
no, you're holding your breath.
You're saying, come on, get one. Oh, okay. All right, come on, get. Oh, okay. Right, you just kind of like, you're like just.
We're still talking about baseball?
Yes, I mean, I don't know what you guys are doing during the ninth inning, but.
Wow.
Put it on pause. I'll be back, Clay. Don't worry.
Trust me. I wish.
I was going to say something appropriate about blown saves, but I won't. But here's the thing. I mean, you just couldn't expect it to just go cleanly.
Because it never does.
It just never does.
It never does. He is not. It's kind of like the extremes we live in. He's not Armando Benitez, okay? He's not a walking implosion. But he's a walking kind of paper cut, blown save kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some ground balls that finds holes. There are some, you know, wild pitches. There are just a lot of little things that contribute to it. And so here's the reality. The reality is they're stuck with him. Okay? During the offseason, I'm not even talking trade deadline because I thought the prices were crazy. But during the offseason, I had an argument with Sean Morash about Josh Hader that I would have gone after him.
Yep.
I would have signed him because I think Glay Holmes is still a very effective weapon if I use him all over the place. Seventh inning to get a big double play. Eighth inning and what have you. But right now, with the way this bullpen is built, he's the guy. Now, is there an alternative in terms of saying, hey, he's blown 10 games, I need to replace him? Not really. Mark Leiter is not a better option.
No.
As well as Tommy Canley's pitched, I'm not convinced he's a better option. We've talked a lot about Luis Gil going all the way back to April. I don't think he's an option because he's still so good as a top-of-the-rotation arm that I don't think you want to take him out of the rotation when he's clearly your number two right now. He's not their number three or number four where maybe he makes a postseason
there's
start.
There's no alternative.
Well, I think the alternatives you want to come up with are converting starters.
Well,
that's the alternatives we talked about months ago with Heal and a little bit of Clark Schmidt. Yeah. I don't even think those are great options.
I think the only other thing you can hope for is give him a three-run lead, right?
Well,
right, give him a you almost have to start putting it on the lineup. You know what you're getting. You know what your weakness is to an extent. Like, he's a good starter, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's an all-star. He's top six and saves the season in Major League Baseball. So it's not like he sucks. It's not what we're talking about. It's just there are moments where you just don't trust, and then it comes to fruition that he's not going to hold or save for you, and that's what gets frustrating. The other thing that drives you crazy is that he gives up, you know, an opposite way single, and it's like...
Where's the positioning? The positioning sometimes feels awful, too.
Stop putting everybody on the left side of the right side of the diamond. Because he hit it right where Anthony Volpe should be standing.
Yeah.
Exactly where he should be standing.
Yeah, no, it's all fair. I did try to think of a solution because, look, Luis Gil right now, I want to be clear about this, it's August 19th, right now in this moment is not a great option to take out of the rotation because it means you're moving everybody else up.
Yep.
You're relying on Marcus Stroman and Carlos Rodon and Nestor Cortez. And look, what I hate about the Clark Schmidt discussion, because we had it last week concerning him in the rotation.
Yeah, we had it at Fanatics Fest.
We did, because I kept asking these guys, who's your third starter? They all agreed Gerrit Cole is number one. I'm talking about for the playoffs. Who's your second starter? Everybody agreed Luis Gil. Who's your third starter? And both you and Sean Teague tried to insist on Clark Schmidt. I'll say the same thing about Dednell Nunez. When a guy's out, you can't rely on him.
No.
Like, let Clark Schmidt come back and perform a little bit, and then he's in the discussion.
Yeah, but the challenge with that is that the earliest he's going to get back, maybe he gets five starts.
Right, which makes him an option out of the bullpen.
Yes.
And I think that could be an option out of the bullpen. But taking someone and making them the closer is very, very different. Like, that's asking a lot for a guy who's never done it. That's why I thought about it last night. I went into the baseball laboratory to offer a solution. And so I do have a strategy for the New York Yankees. It's called strategery. Now, just hear me out on my strategery.
That sounds like a terrible board game.
Well, it's actually a term that President Bush used a lot, and I liked it.
Lockbox.
Strategery. That was Al Gore. Okay?
The board game was Stratego.
Yes.
That was the board game.
I never played it.
Do you remember everybody out there?
Is it like Keno or something like that?
No, it's like a thinking game, like a chess with different types of pieces, like Final Fantasy stuff. It's that type of game.
What?
Are you going to go down a rabbit hole taking?
No, but it sounds terrible. I'm glad I never.
Oh, good. I got scared. I saw this conversation going a different way, trying to have a baseball intellect discussion. So, do you guys remember the Nationals in 2019?
Yes.
So, the Washington Nationals won a World Series with really no bullpen. They somehow pulled it off. Daniel Hudson was the one reliever that turned out to be reliable. And what they ended up doing was using a lot of their starting pitchers out of the bullpen in a strategic way.
Makes sense.
So I brought something up about 2 weeks ago, and maybe you guys rolled your eyes when you heard me bring it up, but it's very, very meaningful. The New York Yankees, if they get to the American League Divisional Series, which they automatically get to if they win the division, will feature an inordinate amount of off days. Game one would be on a Saturday, then they'd have an off day. Then they play game two, then they have an off day. Then they play back-to-back games, then they'd have an off day. I think there are two ways you have to handle the quote-unquote Clay Holmes situation. Number one, I'll take you to last night. Tommy Canley looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Keep him in. If a guy pitches an effective inning,
don't rush because everyone has a role to take them out.
Yeah.
Tommy Kahnle pitched well.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this for the regular season, T, because I know you got to manage the 162.
Of course.
I'm talking about the playoffs. If a guy's effective, Mark Leiter looks dominant. I'm not talking about last night because he didn't. But if a reliever looks dominant,
leave him in.
Push it.
Yeah.
Maybe an extra batter.
The challenge with that is the roles and responsibilities that are necessarily defined when you are a well-operating organization or, in this case, a sports organization. Clay Holmes' job is to go get those last few outs. Go do your...
Why does it have to be defined?
Just go do your job.
Why does it have to be defined?
Because when you repeatedly do something well, and the problem is he doesn't do it repeatedly well. He does it well a lot of times, but not all the time. So when it's his job, he wants to go do that job. And you expect him to go do that job. So just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be beautiful or gorgeous every time, but just do your job.
His job is not to pitch the ninth inning. His job is to get people out. I want to make that very, very clear because I disagree with that notion because I think baseball is a different world now.
But
he doesn't have to pitch the ninth inning.
I mean, in some ways you're right because I think some of us still romanticize what a closer is.
It's dead. That's not the way closers should be treated. And quite frankly, Clay Holmes, and he's good. I know a lot of Yankee fans want to rip him today, and that's fine. We'll take your angry calls. He blew a game last night. He's blown 10 games this year. I own that. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about what you do next. Clay Holmes does not need to be married in the ninth inning. And I'll give you a great example. One thing Clay Holmes does really well is get ground balls.
Yeah.
If you're in a spot with a one-run lead, first and third, one out, seventh inning, why can't Clay Holmes come in and try to get a big double play?
No, he can. And he should, by the way.
Okay, I agree. He should. So when Luke Weaver comes in last night, and I know Luke Weaver hasn't been perfect, but last night Luke Weaver comes in and he pitched a 1-2-3 inning. You're allowed to let him come out and pitch the eighth inning. Tommy Kahnle pitched a 1-2-3 eighth inning. You're allowed to let him pitch the ninth inning. So a part of my playoff strategy is, number one, stop being married to roles.
Yeah.
If a guy's pitching well, keep him in. And number two, to get back to the starter thing, you've got to use your starters as a weapon. Gerrit Cole is here to win. You tell Gerrit Cole, bro, there are off days all over this postseason. You tell me when that you feel comfortable to come in and throw 18 pitches and we'll use you.
Yeah.
The divisional series is just a mess with off days. Use it to your advantage. Same thing with Luisio, by the way. Same thing with Marcus Stroman. Carlos Rodon would make me a little bit nervous, but same thing. Use your starters as weapons because you can in the playoffs. This doesn't fix a Sunday night against the Tigers. Dude, it sucked. They lost the game. It is what it is. I'm not even suggesting that same strategy during the regular season. But come postseason time, number one, relievers pitching well, you're allowed to keep them in.
Yeah.
Number two, use your starters as weapons. The Nationals did it so effectively in 2019. And by the way, we're a long ways away from the Mets making the playoffs. If the Mets are ever fortunate enough to be in the postseason, they have to have the same strategy.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would. I mean, but I think the baseball purist wants, just because we just saw him, a Mason Miller, right? We want that kid. We want a guy.
They don't have that.
I know.
And very few teams
I'm
do.
I'm just saying, that's what you want, and it's what you expect. Like, even if you know what Clay Holmes is, go get ground balls. By the way, he did. He just had the damn shift on over to the right side of the diamond, so there was nobody there to get the ground ball that came right at shortstop. But Clay Holmes is a certain type of reliever. Mason Miller he's going to blow you the offensive guy, the batter away, right? That's what we think about. That's what we romanticize when we think closer. And so I hear what you're saying, and you're not wrong, but the elite teams, we want to have elite closers. Edwin Diaz, 2 years ago, that's exactly what he was. And
but the teams that won the World Series didn't have that elite closer.
I understand that, but I still feel like you need that.
I don't think you do anymore.
Look at the closers. But I think it feels like you need to.
Look at the closers of the last three world champions. Look who they were.
Yeah.
Will Smith was a championship closer with the Atlanta Braves. Mm. Ryan Pressly was pretty good with the Houston Astros. I don't even remember who was closing for Texas last year. Was it Jose Leclerc? I don't remember.
It was Leclerc.
Yeah.
But so I disagree. I get what you're saying, that's what we romanticize about.
Yes.
But look at the Phillies. The Phillies are the best team in baseball. Their closers, who? Jeff Hoffman or Jose Alvarado? Mm. Like, the only elite level closer, and
I'm sorry, with all due respect to Mason Miller, I keep him out of the conversation because, A, they're the Oakland A's, who gives a crap,
right,
and B, he hasn't done
it's
enough.
Only because we just saw him, and he was amazing.
Who's the only elite closer is Emmanuel Clase of Cleveland,
mm-hmm,
and we'll get to see him this week. The Yankees are playing the Guardians. Even Josh Hader isn't reliable, so I understand the overall point. I'm offering a solution.
So then why are we so mad at Clay Holmes then?
Because
if he's just par for the course. Hey, well, you know what? You're not elite. Yeah, you blow 10 saves in a season. You're still top 6, 7.
You think that makes anyone feel better?
No. I'm just saying.
No, but I'm offering
why are we giving him an excuse?
I'm not. I'm telling you that he shouldn't be married to the ninth inning. And there isn't an easy answer
to
replace him with this. It's you've got to strategize. Hey, Tommy Kahnle just pitched a great eighth inning. Let me start the ninth. Or during the playoffs, hey, this is Garrett Cole's throw day. Let me use him to get 3 big outs in the eighth or ninth inning.
Let's not get upset or disgruntled with the guy whose job it is to finish games. Let's get upset or disgruntled with the manager who just isn't smart enough to see the new trends in baseball.
Well,
that's basically what you're saying.
Boy, that is a loaded gun right there.
That's what you're saying.
I'm talking about the postseason more than I am last night. I think, unfortunately, last night, when you're managing 162, as much as it pisses Yankee fans off, you manage differently. Mm-hmm. Come playoff time, because spoiler alert, the Yankees are going to be in the playoffs. They better win the division, but we'll see. You have a chance to manage very differently. Indeed, let's go Mets.
Tonight, at least.
You have a chance to manage very differently to get those outs, those 9 outs or those 12 outs that you need to get. And I know it's easy right now for a Yankee fan to say, replace Clay Holmes. That's what Yankee fans wanted Boone to say last night. There isn't one guy to replace him. It's a strategy and a mindset that's going to replace him.
Strategery.
Thank you. That was great.
Mm.
It's strategery. It's, hey, this guy just got me 2 big outs. Let him start the ninth inning. Or, dare I say what I said about starters, where you've got a million off days in the postseason. It's strategery. Strategery
now,
is how the Yankees can fix the Clay Holmes problem.
Do you have faith that advice will be taken?
No.
Okay.
No, do I have faith
there you
in
go.
It?
So we're now just to the point of slamming the uninformed manager who's afraid to come to strategery class.
It's a long-ass season.
It's not the uninformed manager. It's that I think sometimes you fall in love with a player so much. Like Aaron Boone, I heard it last night. I've heard it all year. He wants to defend Clay Holmes.
Of course he does.
He wants to tell you why what you saw, while you saw it, wasn't as bad as it seems.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
That's not what Yankee fans wanted. They wanted Aaron Boone to irrationally say, Clay Holmes sucks and I'm going to replace him. The problem is there is no replacement. The only way to replace him is pretty much what I'm laying out, which is you're not even replacing him. You're just being smarter with how you strategize your bullpen usage come postseason time. Now, am I confident that the Yankees are going to do that? Not really. But I'll tell you this. I asked a very interesting question on social media earlier today on the heels of such an awful Yankee loss. I said, what will most define the Yankees' 2024 postseason run? Winning the World Series, which... pretty good. Like, that's an option. Clay Holmes blowing games, the offense no-showing, or the starting pitching struggling. Mm. And I was fascinated by the results, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But let's hear from some angry Yankee fans that don't like Clay Holmes. Jay is in Butler, New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Guys, I'm a big fan, but I've been listening to you since Carton and Roberts. But I got to skip the niceties today to rant about Clay Holmes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I haven't been this upset with a Yankee pitcher since Sonny Gray. I called Boomer and Jerry Recco filling in years ago about Sonny Gray, and I'm up there with Clay Holmes. We're talking about 10 blown saves, mm-hmm, a difference between being 83 and 42. Okay, you want to tell me the Yankees' offense didn't show up? Fine, but they were never. You're going against a potential Cy Young winner. This game was never going to be won 9-3 or 5-0.
Right.
This was going to be a 1-2 run game, low scoring 1-2 run game. From before the first pitch was even thrown. So the Yankees come in at 1-0 and you bring him in. You got to get it done. What are you going to do in game 3 of a wild card series, or God forbid they win the division, game 5 of a divisional series? I don't trust him. And I don't think any Yankee fan trusts
him. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Evan, I don't have an answer, and it's not my job to have an answer. I don't get paid millions of dollars. For 30 years.
I know.
For 30 years to have an answer.
I know.
So if the Yankees don't want to be if the Yankees want to be playing baseball on Halloween instead of trick-or-treating, they need to do something. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's not Clay Holmes. I know that. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. I think right now, and we can yell and scream about the trade deadline, I guess. We can yell and scream about the offseason. Look, I could dunk on Sean Morash. Me and him had an argument. I'll never forget it back in February where I was pushing the Yankees to sign Josh Hader. And he said Blake Snell's more important. And look, I guess you could still have that argument today, but it does no good to think back to what we said in February or even what we said 3 weeks ago. It does no good because it's over. Trade deadline passed, offseason passed.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it.
So it's about what are you going to do with this current makeup of a roster? And so what I'm offering you is nothing sexy. It's nothing, you know, that's changing the face of things, but it's more if you're the manager of this team, and you've got a guy in Luke Weaver and Tommy Kahnle, who both at times have pitched really well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think any of us have the confidence to say they're the closer.
No, of course not. I mean, first of all, Luke Weaver's given up too many home runs, but yes, I know what you're saying.
But last night he pitched a 1-2-3 inning.
Of course he did. Of course
he did. You try to maximize that. It's not easy. Look, there's no easy solution to it. By the way, Clay Holmes has blown 10 games. The Yankees' record in those 10 games are 3-7. So let's not think they've lost every game that he's blown. They actually managed to win 3 of those games. By the way, before we get back to your Clay Holmes calls, I did promise that at 3:15, we would whip out, for the first time in a few weeks, another long-term bet here at Evan and Tiki.
Time for another Evan and Tiki long-term bet.
Oh, wow. New production around
It's even
there.
Got a voice.
Nice.
So we will save this for September of 2025. There's a real long-term bet. It's 13 months from now. Who will the New York Giants starting quarterback be for week 1, 2025? How about that?
Do I get to go first?
Would you like to go first,
Tiki? Of course I would like to go
first. Tiki Barber, go ahead.
In the vein of positive Tommy. No, not Tommy DeVito. Who will still be there as a backup? The starting quarterback in 2025 for the New York Giants will be Daniel Jones.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Tommy Lugauer, would you like to go next or should I go next? Completely up to you.
I'll go next. The Giants' starting quarterback in 2025 will be Thomas Nicholas Vinny DeVito. Should have went with Danny DeVito. Damn it.
No,
but it will be Tommy
DeVito.
It was
right there. Yeah. You slowed down. You had a little half a pregnant pause. Instead, you came up with Vinny. I mean, Danny would have been awesome, dude.
I screwed that one up.
Yeah, you did.
You both are definitely. First of all, I cannot see a scenario of Tommy DeVito starting unless he takes over for an injured Jones and just lights the world on fire.
Or Daniel Jones is shuttled out.
Yes.
They draft some kid.
Oh, that's right, and Tommy gets week one start.
Well, no, who's just not ready.
Right.
He's just not, you know, Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Great athlete. Hasn't quite picked up the concepts yet. Tommy D.
So Tommy DeVito kind of serves that Kurt Warner role where he's here for a few weeks.
Yeah, right.
So I'm between two guys. I'll be perfectly honest who they are. I'm between Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins because I do think that we are going to be walking away from this season saying, wow, Giants are good. They built a good roster. They're a quarterback
37?
Away.
37?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I lean towards Dak Prescott. So I'm going to write down. Dak Prescott will be the starting quarterback
not
of the New
Justin
York Giants.
Justin Fields going into year 5?
No, not going to be Justin Fields. I don't think he's going to get that.
Russell Wilson, who really wants to be in New York?
No.
Seattle?
No. Just because he wants something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Not Matt Ryan coming out of retirement.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I'm going with Dak Prescott.
He's very comfortable on the desk.
No, is he?
CBS.
All right, I'm going Dak Prescott. Lukey's going Tommy DeVito. And Tiki's going Daniel Jones. I'm surprised. I thought you guys were all going to go veterans. Mm. Rosie, do you have a guess?
Not particularly, no.
No, that's why you're not allowed to talk.
Yeah, seriously. Give him a rare opportunity to talk, and he's like, I got nothing.
By the way, can I just ask you a quick question, Evan? You said Kirk Cousins, so you say the Falcons are going to go with Penix? Is that what you're saying?
Next year, yeah.
Why would you draft him?
I don't know. That's a great question. I would say the Giants could get Penix.
No way. They drafted him.
He's their future.
He's the future.
The future. They paid Kirk Cousins a ton of money to be
fungible.
The quarterback.
It's fake money.
Yeah. You think Kirk Cousins is going to... So you think Atlanta drafted Michael Penix Jr. to then get rid of him after a year?
I just don't understand why they drafted Penix to begin with where they drafted him. And then they trade up to get him.
They told you.
We don't think we're going to be bad enough to draft the quarterback of the future. And that means that they have a long-term plan. So they're thinking like 5 years. Hire Raheem Morris. You bring in some of the staff from
the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Cracked computer? Leaky fridge? Introducing the future of tech care, where your home tech isn't just covered, it's taken care of. See the future of tech care at Asurion.com/tech care.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From Los Angeles, from the Rams, you have a good defense because they're stacked defensively, mm-hmm. Talent-wise. They're stacked talent offensively as
Look
well.
What they've done the last couple of days.
Right.
They go out and they trade for Matthew Judon.
Yep.
They signed Justin Simmons.
Right.
Who got Stephon Gilmore? It wasn't Atlanta. Who got Stephon Gilmore? Because he signed recently, too.
Yeah, he did. But it wasn't Atlanta.
But the point is,
they're trying to win now, but also sustain it for the future.
Right.
And so they think they're going to be good. And given the NFC...
Minnesota got Stephon Gilmore.
Given the NFC South... I mean, are the Bucks and the Carolina Panthers and the are they running away with it?
No,
no.
But that's why, like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr is another one. Derek Carr is another guy that was on my short list of veteran quarterbacks that will become available at the end of the season that could very well be that Giants starter. So really, it was Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, and I'm sticking with Dak just because the look on your face would be just so special. I want to go through a whole year with Dak Prescott as the quarterback of the Giants. I find that funny.
He's not here today. Do you want Marash's answer? Because I know what it is.
Yes.
Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker's my answer.
Okay, let me write that down. Hendon Hooker. And by the way, you guys out there, I literally cut this audio, put in a little folder, and we reveal long-term bets. Mm-hmm. And we find out who was right or wrong. We got a few of them pending right now. We got the Juan Soto contract. We got the Pete Alonso contract. We got amount of starts each Giant quarterback has. So you will get your payoff. The problem is you're going to have to wait 13 months. I apologize.
We also have the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift divorce.
Yeah, no. It's the let me correct you on that. It's will there be a proposal? No, it's will they have been broken up? Hold on, I got a whole document. I'll tell you what it was.
I don't think it was. I thought it was proposal. I thought it was like marriage.
I think it's marriage.
I can't remember now, though.
I have a document that I'm going to pull up right now called Show Predictions, all right? Let me go through this. Pete Alonso, new contract, quarterback starts for the Giants and Jets, wins by each team. All right, here it is. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce still being a couple, yes or no, and we will determine the answer on November 16th. That's the cutoff date.
Of this year.
Of this upcoming year.
Oh, that's upcoming.
So, do you want me to remind everybody what they said?
Yeah.
All right. I said they will be broken up by November 16th. Mm. Tiki said they will still be together. Sean said not only will they still be together, they'll be engaged.
Ooh.
And Loogie said damage will be done. I think this was the midst of the Knicks run and everything was damaged.
Right. Damage.
What, does that mean there's a baby on the way?
I don't know. I wrote down damage.
Dude. The great part of damage is you don't have to define it, so I'll be right either way.
That's the problem when we ask him questions during a Knicks run.
I know, right?
It's always like,
hey, the Knicks winning, they're going to do damage.
Generational talent. Let's go to Carmine and Manalapan. What's up, Carmine?
Hi, guys. How you doing? I'm actually in a park throwing a ball, and they believe it's at Aaron Boone's head.
Stop. Don't do that.
No, I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah,
I watched the game last night. It was good. I enjoyed it with the Little League and everything. And I got my bonus to pick, not even Holmes, but Stanton. He hit that pop-up around first base. Instead of being on second, he luckily made it to first. And, you know, that could have been a big run there. And, you know, it's just this guy's it's just a waste to me. I don't understand it. Anybody else would have been on second.
You're talking about Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, the pop-up at first.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Here's the problem, okay? Because I wrestled with this as well, Carmine.
Giancarlo Stanton is a very valuable New York Yankee. I think we'd all admit that. He's actually had a productive season, and you see the different complexion of this lineup when he's out there. He right now is a veteran player who you have to treat with care. Yeah. He cannot run. He can't do it. And if he tries to run, his leg may literally fall off.
Yeah.
So what you have to accept, and I think every Yankee fan has to accept, is that the good of Giancarlo is right-handed stick, protect Aaron Judge. The negative is he's not getting to second base on plays in which you think he should.
Yeah, he's not going to be opportunistic and take a bag for you.
And which I think you have to accept that.
Of course. Because his bat is so, it can be very damaging. To use a Tommy word, but he has to be on the field.
He has to.
That's why you have not, and you will not see him play in the field anymore. Maybe never again.
Maybe not.
He's pure DH right now.
Maybe not. I mean, he hasn't played there yet this season, and you see the way he runs. And we can sit here and mock it all day, and it can be very, very frustrating. But are you willing to lose the guy? Can I give you? It's not the exact same comparison, but I want to give you a comparison because at some point today, and I'm sure Lugie will give us an update when it happens, we are going to get the MRI results on Brandon Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brandon Nimmo's got a banged up shoulder.
Yep.
And there's a chance the MRI results are going to be really bad. Like, there's a chance we may not see Brandon Nimmo for a while. Do you guys know how Brandon Nimmo got hurt? It wasn't on that swing. It was on making a game-saving, at the time, diving catch.
Yes.
Okay?
Soft hit.
Want to ask everybody a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Mets didn't win the game, but let's imagine that they did. Let's say Mets pull it out, Lindor's fly ball to center goes out, walk-off victory. And Nimmo's catch saved the game. And we get news later today that he's out for 2 months. Is it worth it?
It's a hard one.
I don't think it's very hard. The answer is no.
I mean,
as important as that game was,
he's hitting 160.
No, but he's been better the last 3 days. And he's Brandon Nimmo. He's important in this lineup.
I know.
You're willing to give up Brandon Nimmo for one catch?
Probably not.
In a game in August?
Probably not.
Okay. But
he's been slumping badly.
Yes, Tiki, and I'm with you on that. But he hits the bomb of a home run Friday night. He starts to hit over the weekend. And I think we all admit Brandon Nimmo's really, really important.
And we still yet to have an update, correct?
Have we got an update yet?
We do not have an update
yet. Okay. My point to you is this, and this is not easy. Do you want a player making a play that gets you an extra base in Stanton's case, or making a diving catch in Nimmo's case, that while it improves your chances of winning an individual baseball game in August, not October, could knock them out for 2 months? Do you guys really want that? Do you want that?
How do you tell a player not to dive and catch a ball?
The reason you can't, right now,
same way Tommy, they're telling Stanton not to run the second base.
It's because every one of these games matter. So it's different for the Yankees than it is for the Mets. For Stanton, you're going to the postseason. Just be available for us when you get there. For the Mets, it's you can't lose this series.
Right.
You can't afford not to sweep the Marlins. You can't afford to have a bad series at home against the Baltimore Orioles. So every game is urgent for them. I mean, they're not in the postseason right now. Right, I know that Atlanta's falling or coming back to earth in a sense, and maybe even more so with this latest injury, but they're not in the postseason yet.
I get that.
So, like, every game matters.
Every game matters, and I totally agree, Tommy. It's impossible to tell a player to not try to make a great play. I agree with you.
Nor do you think you're going to get hurt doing that.
No, I agree. Aaron Judge got hurt a few years ago trying to make a diving catch at the end of the 2019 season in September, and it knocked him out for what would have been a big part of 2020. Obviously, we had the pandemic. My point to you is, in Giancarlo's case, it's very simple. We know he can't run.
Mm-hmm.
We know his hamstring could fall off. So when you get frustrated that he didn't go to second base on a play that maybe 90% of other players can get the second base on, you've got to pause and remind yourself that him being out there is more important. Obviously, injuries are freaky in the case of Brandon Nimmo, but I'm trying to give you that comparison that the health is more important than that one play.
Yeah.
Now, if this game is in the middle of October, obviously it's different. Andy Chavez can't worry about injuring his elbow as he's making a leaping catch to, at the time, save Game 7 of the NLCS. Of course.
But in the case of Giancarlo Stanton, you have to be smart. And that's why from this day forward, I'm sorry, I have to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
When he doesn't run a ball out, he's not doing it because he's lazy, Phil Mushnick.
Yeah.
He's doing it because he's a walking injury.
Remember when Bobby Abreu was afraid of the outfield wall?
I do.
And he would stop basically at the warning track? Yeah. So he was kind of ahead of the curve on this idea. Like, I don't know if he was actually literally afraid of hitting it, but it seemed like he was afraid to hit the wall. But we talked about this Aaron Judge a couple years ago when he got hurt on a diving catch. Aaron Judge is obviously on a different platform than Brandon Nimmo. That's just me saying that. And obviously his importance is just ridiculous. But it's tough to take it out of the player. The one thing I will say, there are areas like the wall, like the dugout, where I go, stop running as I'm watching the game. I'm like, stop running. You're in a danger zone.
Do you want Aaron Judge to try to make a diving catch tomorrow night? Does any Yankee fan really want to see that?
No. No.
Think about the risk-reward. The risk is he makes a great play, yippity-doo-dah. The reward is it's L.A. all over again.
Now, if he was playing for the Mets, I would say, yeah, you got to be great.
I understand because of the importance of each game.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's a tough one because at the end of the day, these guys need to play. We'll get to the Mets season ticket situation in which they decided to raise some prices on some coming up at 4 o'clock. And more of your calls. A lot of Daniel Jones, a lot of Clay Holmes, a little Mets as well throughout the day. 888-808-1019. But for those of you that were watching last night's Yankee game, there was a moment on the broadcast that caused many a Yankee fan to think, this is why we lost the game. Are you ready to hear it?
Let's hear it.
This is why the Yankees lost last night.
Yankee relievers have been doing their job. They have ridden now a 13 2/3 scoreless inning streak. They've allowed one run earned in their last 14 2/3 innings pitched.
Can you believe that? Son of a bitch, Carl Ravitch had the balls to read that stat pack supplied by Yankees PR, and it brought the whole world down.
Is it only a jinx if you don't know it organically? You know what I mean?
You want to get into the inner workings of a jinx?
Yes.
It's a good question.
I feel like that's how it always happens. It's someone on a national level talking about a local statistic, and they're like, let's see, Harrison Buckter has not missed a kick in the last 22 attempts. Yeah, sounds good. How awesome is that? Miss. Right? I feel like it's always someone who doesn't actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I would say this.
Because if it's just coming off the top of your dome, like, yeah, you know, he hasn't blown a save in 6 weeks. It's been awesome, Clay Holmes.
Right.
And then it doesn't, like, I don't know. It just feels like if it's organic, it's okay. But if it's red, then it feels like that's jinx worthy.
So I will tell you my explanation for this. Every single person that watches every Yankee game would tell you the bullpen has pitched well recently, right? They did a very good job cleaning up Carlos Rodon's mess from over the weekend. Bullpen came in, kept the game close. They couldn't hit. Okay, we saw that. They did a great job finishing what Gerrit Cole started on Friday. 3 scoreless innings out of the bullpen. Same thing with the finale against the White Sox. So I think anyone who's watching the Yankees knows bullpen pitching well.
Yes.
When you give a specific stat to it, and you're like, you know, they haven't done this or that, that's when it morphs into a jinx. And that's where the Yankee fan last night, as soon as this was read, said, okay, bullpen's blowing the game. And they were right, because the bullpen blew the game twice.
Yes.
First Clay Holmes, then Mark Leiter with the fake runner on second base. So would you admit, Tiki, as someone who doesn't believe in jinxes, as a former athlete, that last night Carl Ravitch and ESPN jinxed the New York Yankees?
No, I don't think it's a jinx, because you still got to go do your job. But I do feel like this happens very often when it's someone who doesn't know what they're actually talking about.
Mm.
Not that Carl Ravitch doesn't know what he's talking about. He knows baseball, clearly. But this is not an organic statistic. He's not watching Yankee baseball to the extent that he knows that the bullpen hasn't given up an earned run in, what was it, 34 innings, whatever the stat was. He doesn't know that. I feel like when you don't know it and you say it, that becomes a jinx.
So you're a guy with a lot of power, Teak.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing NFL games every Sunday.
Yes, I will tell Andrew Catalan if he doesn't know off the top of his dome, don't say it.
Well, so you won't say it then.
I definitely won't, because it's not my job to.
Gotcha.
It is Andrew's job to. But I will get on Catalan, say, hey, do you know that off the top of your head? If he says no, I'm going to say, don't say it.
Interesting.
I might have to say it while he starts to say it. Did you know that? Don't say it, because it's going to be a jinx. And if it proves to be a jinx, trust me, that fan base is going to hate you.
And you say, Andrew, it's your fault, not mine.
Exactly.
I ain't taking the blame for this.
I'm warning you, Andrew. I'm warning you right now.
So the big one in football, obviously, is field goals.
It's 100%. Field goals.
Teak, you got to slip one in this year, though. If a guy has like 30 in a row, you just got to do it. You got to be like, well, he's hit 30 in a row. Boom, right off the crossbar.
I think it depends.
I don't like being the jinx, though. Do I don't want to be that guy.
Well, it depends on, not the jet game, but it depends on the game. I will agree with that because I think you're very independent when you do these games. Okay, you're not showing a bias. Nope. And I don't know what your schedule is going to look like. I don't know how many games you've even gotten off the top.
I know the first three.
You know the first three.
Okay. Yes.
Are any of those three games involving teams that we as New Yorkers despise?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you get a game over the course of the year that includes...
They're all interesting, but not anybody you despise.
Okay, because here are the teams that fit this. If you get a game involving the Philadelphia Eagles...
Nope.
The Dallas Cowboys...
Nope.
The Miami Dolphins...
Even though CBS does have Dallas-Philly.
Really?
Yes.
So weird.
Yes.
I can't get used to
that. NFC powerhouse game...
Yeah, that is strange.
...is on CBS, so obviously that'll be... Tony and Jim.
Right.
That'll be our A crew.
I don't know how many games you're going to get involved in these teams, but if you get any AFC East or NFC East team, not name the Jets or Giants, we give you permission. In fact, we demand that you try a jinx against one of those teams.
All right.
And you can hide against their fans by saying, look, I was just giving a stat.
But not against the Jets.
No, don't jinx the Jets.
I'm just making sure.
Do you want Joe Beningo to, like, verbally assault you?
You hate the Jets. You didn't watch the game.
Tate, did you have to say that Greg Zuerlein? I mean, did you have to, bro? So don't do it to the Jets.
I won't.
And obviously don't do it to the Giants. But you are more than welcome to do it to any team.
You hate the Jets.
Any team inside our divisions that you don't like.
I love Nate Hackett.
Who doesn't love Nate Hackett? He's a very lovable guy.
You saw it in real time.
I thought you guys were going to make out. I mean, you guys like each other.
So as a producer back here, I was like, oh boy, Nate, please, you know, use a better language here. I'm thinking he's going to like come on and like curse. He gave him the big bro hug and stuff like that. Did you know that was coming? Like it was the big impromptu hug and everything?
When I was on the field, when I was down on the field while they were still practicing before we started doing our interviews, I texted him. I was like, I'm down here waiting for you. Where are you at? And he didn't see it until the end of our show. And he's like, oh man, I'm sorry. I missed you. I'm like, dude, we're still here. He's like, where are you at? I was like, we're on the deck. He said, I'm coming. And I was like, all right, cool.
And then he came, and we all started singing along together.
Tiki and Nate, best friends forever. Side by side, they're always together on the field or off. They're like brothers, living life with no worries or troubles.
All right, that's enough. Now let's get back to your
AI days, the AI music days.
Oh, it's coming back, baby.
Think fondly of the AI music days.
Well, that one
may
fit.
They never return.
No, that one fit. You and Nate Hackett have a song together. Who knows what other songs I may create over the next few months? You never know. There's a positive Tommy song coming at some point. No doubt about it.
I'm sure the positive Tommy song will not paint positive Tommy in a positive light.
Mm.
That's just my
You know why that's not fair?
And
I was going to get to this later. In fact, I will get to this later. I listen to a lot of positive Tommy coming home from yesterday's disheartening Met loss. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to positive Tommy may surprise you. Mm. We'll get to that a little bit later on. A lot of Clay Holmes, Daniel Jones, and the Mets. We'll get to the Mets season ticket prices being raised in about 15 minutes. We'll have a bullpen off a little bit later on which pen is worse, Yankees or Mets, even though the Yankee bullpen's been amazing recently. Let's go to Mike in Florida. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Evan? What's going on, Tiki?
All good.
What's up?
Evan, I got a bone to pick with you.
Go ahead.
I don't understand how you're rationalizing this Clay Holmes nonsense. The guy is terrible. He's been absolutely terrible since the first, like, 2 months after they got him originally, like, 2 or 3 years ago. I don't understand
what you're saying. What I'm rationalizing, I'm not rationalizing him. I'm saying this is what I would do. Now, do you have a solution to this Clay Holmes problem? Because if you do, I'd like to hear it.
I don't have a solution like the other caller said. I don't get paid millions of dollars.
Mike, I'm not telling you Clay Holmes deserves a contract extension or he's Mariano Rivera. I'm simply saying, okay. He's blown 10 games this year. Here's what I'll do. And I'm offering a solution of, hey, if Tommy Kahnle looks good for an inning, let me ride him for another inning. Hey, with all these off days during the playoffs, let me use my starting pitchers as weapons out of the bullpen. I'm at least telling you what I would do. All you're doing is complaining about it.
I'm complaining about it because I can't take it anymore. Out of control.
But
I'd rather see Kayagawa in there from 15 years ago than this guy.
All right. Mike, I'm sorry. I apologize that you're very upset. You should be very upset. But your solution is, I'd rather see Keiagawa? Like, this is who the Yankees have.
Yeah, I'm just...
What do you want to do?
Look, I know what you're trying to say, but I'm just looking at this year's game log for Tommy Kahnle. And he's been actually fantastic.
Since he's come back from the IL, he's pitched very well.
His ERA plus is, it's stupid. It's over 200. But I'm trying to find... Okay, there was one instance back in July. No, I take that back. There was one in August 11th where he faced six batters. Mm-hmm. But most of his outings are an inning or less.
Mm-hmm.
So to throw him out there for six outs as opposed to three, it's just something he's not...
I didn't even say six outs. What I'm saying is when you get three outs and you do it without breaking a sweat, hey, can I get a fourth? Hey, can I get a fifth? Like, you have to manage batter to batter. Like, that's the position Aaron Boone is in. And by the way, a lot of managers are like that because they don't have a dominant closer.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Torre, I hate to say it, had it easy. Here, Mariano, here's the baseball. Yeah. Go get me five outs. It isn't easy. So I think the Yankees need to be more judicial in Clay Holmes is not simply the closer. Yes, I may need him to get big outs. Yes, he's going to be on the mound. But he can't just be the automatic ninth inning guy. You've got to manage around, A, who you're facing, B, how well guys are pitching. Maybe I can ride them out for longer. And C, during the postseason, with all these off days, using that as a weapon so I can use some of my starting pitchers to get three outs here and there. Something the Nationals did perfectly in 2019. So I'm offering a solution because there isn't one guy. Like, there isn't one guy who can do it. Whether it's a guy on the injured list like Clark Schmidt, whether it's taking a starter and saying, screw it, you're a reliever now. Like, I don't think those are the best alternatives. I think the best alternative is strategery. And that strategery I've laid out is riding guys who are pitching well out of the bullpen and using my starters as a weapon. But I understand it. Look, WFA is here for you. If you want to call in and just bitch that Clay Holmes sucks, fine. We're here for you. We'll be the psychiatrist. But then the response is going to be, okay, well, what do you want to do? You want to just bury him? You want to make him the sixth inning guy? What do you want to do?
You can't bury him. That's the problem. Because he gives you the best option.
Well,
with what you have.
I get it.
Unless you're going to go rogue, like you're saying. Strategery.
Right now, if you had a circle of trust in Yankee bullpen arms, who would even be in it? Maybe Tommy Kahnle because he's pitched well?
Kahnle, definitely.
Outside of that, I mean, Jake Cousins because he's pitched well? Mm. Luke Weaver mostly was pitching well, but he's had some implosions. Michael Tonkin? Tim Hill? Like, this is who we're talking about right now.
This is why we need a bullpen off.
A bullpen off, which we'll be doing a little bit later on between the Mets and the Yankees. Let's go to John and Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going? You know, Clay Holmes, it's almost malpractice the way they keep putting him out there in closing situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're a closer, your best pitch is supposed to be something that's almost unhittable. He's throwing his sinker about 55% of the time, and hitters are hitting .348 against it.
That's his biggest problem. His best pitch is no longer that effective.
Yeah.
And when you compare that to other closers and their best pitch and how often they're throwing it, like Emmanuel Clase throws his cutter 80% of the time. You got hitters hitting .160 against it. You got Tanner Scott's fastball. He's throwing it 60% of the time. You got hitters they're hitting .103 against it. You got Alexis Diaz, his fastball, .185. You know, you got all these other closers whose best pitch, they're throwing them 50, 60, 70% of the time, and hitters are hitting, you know, .120, .140, .160 against it. But Clay Holmes, the sinker, .340+ hitters against it.
I agree with you, but let's keep this in mind.
Why do you keep putting him out there?
Well, but hold, because he's
got to put him.
Because he's their best option.
Yeah, he's just the best option. He's not the best option at closer.
Who is it then?
Who is it?
Go try some people out, you know? Go try out Tonkin. Go try out Cousins.
Nah, come on.
I can't see that.
Michael Tonkin and Jay Cousins are going to be asked to get big outs because, hey, if you're not getting seven innings out of your starting pitching, you're going to need these guys to get big outs at some point, and they've been asked to do it. And all of these guys have flaws. Like, you brought up Alexis Diaz and how effective his best pitch is. He still has a 4 ERA. Like, he's not even better than Clay Holmes, even if his best pitch is better than Clay Holmes' best pitch. This is not about defending Clay Holmes because he doesn't deserve defense. He's blown 10 games. That's a fact. okay? Some of it has been bad luck, sure. But for the most part, like last night, you can't blow that game. You can't have that happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not defending him, but the answer is try someone else out. There is no try someone else out. Now, should Clay be married to the ninth inning? Absolutely not. Last night's a good example of it. You mentioned, well, Tommy Kahnle hasn't been asked to get six outs. Well, maybe you try that at some point. Maybe you see after an effective 1-2-3 inning, hey, could I get a fourth out of Tommy Kahnle? Can I get a fifth out of Tommy Kahnle? I think that they are going to have to ride the hot hand a lot more, specifically come playoff time, if they're going to get through the amount of wins they need to get to win a world championship.
No, you're right. And Clay Holmes, I mean, look, we know he throws mostly his fastball. I'm just looking at the Fangraph statistics. It's mostly his fastball, and then he changes it up with the slider. And the reason he throws that sinker so often to this last caller's point is because he wants you to hit a ground ball. He wants a fastball going down in the zone so that you drill it into the ground and he gets a ground ball. And by the way, last night, that's what he did. He got us a ground ball. It just happened to be the shift was advantageous to the Yankees.
It feels like we've had this same conversation a lot. He got the ground ball. It just found the hole.
Yes.
It seems like most of his blown saves fit that.
He's just not a power pitcher. So he's not blowing it past you.
No, you know what? He got plenty of swing and misses last night. He struck out three guys. All three outs were actually strikeouts last night. The New York Mets have raised season ticket prices. I've got the full details. Plus, I'll tell you why, shockingly, as I read the email, as I saw that I was going to have to spend more money, I was not as angry as you'd imagine. And I'll tell you why coming up, plus more of your calls.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.